What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take this morning's look at some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. In the last 24 hours, the Ministry of Health registered 3 deaths and 135 new cases of COVID-19, according to the figures published in the epidemiological report. The ministry specifies that 3,676 tests were applied to date and the 135 new infections reflected a positivity of 3.7%. Regarding deaths, the health authorities registered 3 for a cumulative total now of 8,159 deaths since the pandemic arrived in the country in March of 2020. The lethality percentage is 1.1. The ministry reported that the 3 people who died in the last 24 hours did not have the complete immunization schedule against the new coronavirus, according to the report. It is reflected in the report that the deceased corresponded to people over 60 years of age, 2 from West Panama's region and the other one from the metropolitan area. As for the active cases, there are 2,265 nationwide, of which 2,148 are in home isolation and 117 hospitalised. Those in isolation are divided into 2,111 at home, 37 in the hospital hotels. In addition, regarding those hospitalised, it is reported that 104 are in the wards and there are 13 in the intensive care units. This Monday, hundreds of policymakers went to the Susana Jones Cano Hospital, which is located in Villalucre, looking for an appointment for radiology. They came from San Miguelito, 24 de Diciembre, Las Cumbres, Caledonia, Arihan, Cocle. They crowded into the parking lots of the medical facility of the Social Security Fund, the CSS, but the line was so long that they also occupied the parking lots of the San Judas Tadeo clinics, which are to one side. Those most affected by the wait were older adults or people with disabilities. Those people who arrived from 6 p.m. on Sunday to secure their place left empty-handed because they all left today only with the promise that in a month, when they go again to this facility, you will receive the quota with the date of your appointment. CSS officials who attended to the impatient and disappointed policyholders said that the appointment dates for their MRIs, CAT scans, EuroCAT scans, vascular scans, abdominal scans, among others, would be from next August onwards. The press confirmed the long lines. The situation became chaotic when the people who were in the front spread the word that they had to get a copy of the ID and the reference of the X-ray requested by the doctor. Some began to run towards a nearby pharmacy. Others shouted annoyed at the lack of organisation. For Yolanda, what happened yesterday morning is proof of the disorganisation of the CSS. According to the speciality of radiology, they must give specific days and thus avoid these crowds in the midst of a pandemic. What was least respected here was the distance, she counted. Well, at 4 a.m, there were already 500 people waiting, she added. Subsequently, the CSS indicated through a statement that the appointments for the different radiology services will be scheduled throughout the month of March and will be continued for as long as necessary. To comply with this, they reported that a special team was assigned which has instructions to schedule appointments and thus meet the demand of the insured. We extend our apologies to all those who were affected and inform them that the necessary corrective measures have been taken, stated the note. Public transport leaders met on Monday with directors of the Transit and Land Transport Authority, the ATT&T, but they did not reach an agreement on the issue of a possible increase in the fare. The meeting, which was mediated by the Ombudsman's Office, comes after the carriers announced that they would increase the cost of the fare due to the increase in fuel prices. Well, at the table, the carriers presented several proposals, including a request to freeze the cost of fuel for 6 months at $2.40 a gallon for diesel and $3 for regular gasoline. Nestor Cubilla, representing the carriers from the interior of the country, announced that the authorities would give them a response on the proposal next Friday. In a press release from the ATT&T, it reports that the director, Carlos Ordenes, highlighted that the two organisations agree that a palliative is to freeze fuel prices for the sector. In addition, if the executive does not approve the proposal to freeze fuel prices, Karnataka proposes an increase in the price of the rate at the national level. This would be with the argument that since 2011, no adjustments have been made in the cost of a ticket. We have proposed to meet again Friday and discuss this new point, since among others were tariff issues, fuel freezing. But the important thing is to think about the user, said the Ombudsman, Eduardo LeBlanc, after the meeting. The ATT&T indicated that representatives of the National Chamber of Transportation, Karnataka, were not present at the dialogue table. However, it was reported that they sent their proposal to the table. Leaders of the Interior Transport Council were present at the meeting. The Panamanian Chamber of Construction, CAPAC, called on unionised workers not to support the strike declaration announced by union leaders. This was through a statement. CAPAC warned workers of the serious damage of a strike in the current circumstances of the industry, and especially because during the stoppage they will not receive wages. The organisation also stated that its objective in these negotiations of the CAPAC Suntrax collective agreement is to maintain the current jobs and the conditions that allow the reactivation of a totally depressed industry. It should be noted that of the 153 clauses of this collective agreement, 148 have been negotiated, of which the three clauses related to the salary aspect are pending agreement. In this sense, CAPAC reiterated that Suntrax proposes unacceptable wages above the real possibilities of the industry and construction companies. In recent days, the Single National Union of Construction and Similar Workers, Suntrax, announced that in its General Assembly, in its second and third calls, it was unanimously and definitively approved to start the indefinite national strike on April the 4th. This, if there is no agreement with CAPAC regarding salary for the 2022-25 collective agreement. Suntrax has calculated that around 20,000 workers would join the strike. In the last 4 years, that's from 2019 to 2022, 239 investigative agents of the public ministry faced processes before the entity's disciplinary council. These are senior circuit and associate prosecutors. In total, the public ministry have 5,069 officials, of which 64.16%, that's 3,252, have investigation tasks of possible crimes. Now, for the year 2019, 101 cases of prosecutors subjected to disciplinary proceedings were reported, and in 2020, a year marked by the COVID-19 pandemic, the proceedings dropped to 63. During 2021, 60 cases were initiated, and so far in 2022, a total of 15. One of the processes that has generated the most attention is that of the anti-corruption prosecutors Adesio Mojica, Ruth Mosio, and Tania Sterling. The group also includes former anti-corruption prosecutors Nathaniel Murgas, today an anti-gang prosecutor, and Zulielka Moore, who is currently a homicide prosecutor for West Panama. The process originated with a complaint for alleged anomalies in the handling of the file that is related to the grain case of the extinct National Aid Program, where the Euro 14 witness in a preliminary hearing in November 2021 pointed out alleged anomalies during the investigation. As a result of this, Caraballo, at the end of November of that year, sent the summoned prosecutors on vacation. Sterling, who was also reported, had been on vacation since June of 2021, and the date of her return is not known either. The investigations of the prosecutors are advancing. We hope in a short time to be able to have some type of decision, Caraballo said in an interview with the media on March the 16th when he rendered his annual management report. The Disciplinary Council, whose function is to scientifically investigate infractions, is made up of 5 members. General Secretary of the Public Ministry, Administrative Secretary, Director of Human Resources, Secretary of Legal Affairs, and a representative of public servants. Administrative personnel and collaborators in judicial matters are also being investigated. For 2019, 97 cases of this type were received. During 2020, there were 39, and in 2021, a total of 125. And so far, in 2022, there are already 14. The modified loan portfolio stood at $8,289 million at the end of January, a figure that represents a decrease of $14,703 million, or 64%, when compared to the level of modified loans in January of 2021. According to the Superintendents of Banks of Panama, modified loans are those that took advantage of the relief measures during the pandemic. The Superintendent of Banks of Panama, Amoray Castillo, said that after agreeing on a restructuring with the bank and complying with the new agreed conditions for 6 months, the loan is no longer in the modified category. The reduction of this portfolio during the last year is interpreted by the regulator as a positive sign of payment compliance by customers. The President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, travelled yesterday, Monday, to participate in the fall summit of the Alliance of Development in Democracy, the AADD. President Cortizo will address with his peers from Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic, who are also members of the AADD, issues on the common agenda in terms of politics, trade development, as well as migration issues. Senior officials from the United States, regional banks and the private sector will also participate in the meeting, which will be in San Jose, in order to analyse the context of the region, reported the Presidency of the Republic. The central issue to be discussed at this summit will be the collaboration of the Dominican Republic, Costa Rica and Panama to seek financing in international markets, which allows them to access financial resources in the markets, a press release stated. President Cortizo travels accompanied by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Erika Muñez, the Minister of Economy and Finance, Hector Alexander, and the Minister of Commerce and Industry, Ramon Martinez. And that's it. There we go. That's what we've got for you for this morning. Some of those things relevant to us were all compiled for you on this morning's Breakfast Show.